Good morning. We're going to be reading Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Y'all feeling the holiday crazy? It's been, at least one of us isn't, and I'm glad for that. I definitely am. It's been a crazy week or two at our house, in this time between Thanksgiving and Christmas. Been rushing to wrap things up at work before things shut down. Faith and I have both been trying to get our ducks in a row before the baby comes, so that adds to it. And just in terms of how the earth works, the light's getting shorter and dimmer. Yesterday was the shortest day of the year. It affects my mood. I'm probably one of those seasonal disorder, affective disorder people that gets a little sad this time of year. And it's just been like, honestly, it's been hard to get out of bed some days. I'm just like, my body wants to sleep till 10, certainly till 8, not when I need to get up. So to top it all off, as you might notice from the character of my voice this morning, like our whole family's been sick for like about a week and a half. And Faith and Francis are actually homesick today because Francis still has a fever. So just been walking through this haze of fever and coughing. And just trying to wrap up all the stuff that we need to get done. And I've felt helpless. And just like, please just let this year end. Let me get some sleep. And then I'll come back next year and clean these messes up. And I hate feeling like this. I hate the way that these external factors, the time of year, the light, illness, how all these things seem to govern my life more than my own choices and the things I've consciously decided on. I'd like to think that my choices matter. And I'd like to think that my decisions are the decisive factor in how my life goes. I want to believe that if I make good choices, if I act wisely, things will turn out the way I intended. But that's not the truth. That's not the way life is. I'm not in charge. And I'm not, in the words of the poet William Ernst Henley, you may be familiar with the poem, I'm not the master of my fate, the captain of my soul. I'm not the protagonist of the story. So we're in the week of Christmas. It's a time we remember the birth of Jesus. We remember God's definitive and ultimate act of intervention, of being present in love, grace, and judgment in our world. It's the moment when God intervenes so urgently, so personally, so intensely, that he becomes one of us. The Word becomes flesh, and he pitches his tent among us. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, God with us." So in the text of my sermon that I'm looking at, it says, in our scripture reading this morning, for some reason, I can't stop thinking about Joseph. But reading it again this morning, there's no doubt why I can't stop thinking about Joseph. Matthew's account is all about Joseph, right? Like if we only had the Gospel of Matthew, there might not be much said about Mary, because Mary is totally instrumental in this account, right? It's all about Joseph and the things Joseph needs to do. So bear with me because I'm preaching from Matthew here. And I'm going to talk about Joseph mostly this morning. I'm finding myself with Matthew's account. I'm finding myself in Joseph's shoes, and the text leaves no doubt that Joseph's a good man, right? He's a kind man. The text says he's a righteous man, but he was a man, and I have to suspect that he liked to feel in control, just like I do. And I think he must have feared the feeling of being cut loose and unmoored, having all illusion torn away. I think he must have been horrified to be shown just how utterly powerless he was to direct his own life. It says that Joseph was engaged to Mary. They were arranged to be married. But before the time arrives for them to come together, Joseph learns that Mary's pregnant. Now it says, Matthew says, that Mary was with child from the Holy Spirit, but Joseph doesn't know that. So what's Joseph going to think? Engaged to a girl, not married to the girl, and the girl is pregnant. The Bible, throughout the Bible, and especially in this place, is a mastery of understatement is what's going on here. It's like so much between the lines here. You could write whole novels just based on these passages. And Matthew does not go into much detail here. He just says that Joseph's a righteous man, and he's unwilling to expose Mary to public disgrace. And Joseph plans to dismiss her privately. In other words, it's over. Joseph's a good guy and all, but he's not marrying this girl who obviously cheated on him and has a baby to prove it. And, I mean, again, Matthew doesn't say so, but I think Joseph was probably really upset. We don't know what his relationship was like with Mary when they were engaged. I mean, you know, relationships back then were not typically like what we think of romantic relationships being like today. But at the very least, it must have been totally humiliating to find out that your fiance was pregnant when it definitely wasn't you. So basically, Joseph's life is shattered. Everything he thought he knew just went out the window. I'm sure, before he went to sleep that night, I think he had an ugly cry or two. But when he goes to sleep, he has a dream. And there's an angel who tells him that the baby that Mary's carrying is from the Holy Spirit. This is God's will. She didn't cheat on you at all. Go ahead, marry her, Joe. This is God's child we're dealing with. And guess what? He's going to be the Messiah. So, Joseph does as the angel instructs him. He is a righteous man. He goes ahead and takes Mary as his wife, knowing that she's going to give birth to a child that he had nothing to do with. I don't like feeling out of control. How much more out of control can you get than to see a vision of an angel telling you that your fiance's unborn child is from the Holy Spirit and will be the promised Messiah that will save the nation? Joseph was a human being. He had hopes and dreams. He had expectations. I'm sure that not a one of them involved playing stepdad to the Son of God. And yet, here he was. God was short-circuiting his life, and he had to respond one way or another. He had to surrender the future that he'd imagined for himself and Mary, for his family. And Joseph made the choice to welcome the unexpected. He made room for the potentially disastrous action of God in his life. And we know that it cost him a lot. Choosing to become stepfather to Jesus, Joseph suffered humiliation. We don't know what ended up happening to Joseph. He's not mentioned again. You know, the last in the whole chronology, the last time Jesus is mentioned, it's in Luke, not in Matthew. In Matthew, Jesus is not mentioned, or Joseph is not mentioned after this, basically. In Luke, he's mentioned when Jesus is about 12 years old. But after that, we don't hear anything about Joseph. But what we do know is that by the time Jesus is doing his ministry in his 30s, people are usually referring to him as the son of Mary. That is not the son of Joseph. So that's a tough one. And I wonder if Joseph felt like he was surrendering his legacy, his family, to make room for God. Do you think Joseph ever got angry at God? Do you think he ever wished things had been different? That his life had turned out the way he imagined? Do you think he bared any resentment? God gave Joseph a hard path. Joseph's service to God was one that echoed a lot of the same themes as Jesus' ministry. Sacrifice for the sake of loving others. Obedience to the will of God rather than self-will. Public humiliation. And being misunderstood and rejected even by those closest to him. Joseph was a strong man. He was a brave man. He was a fitting match for Mary, who would also endure so much for the sake of the truth. Together as a family, they bore the burden of Jesus' ministry. They raised Jesus and they cared for him. And ultimately, they had to stand by as Jesus turned away and pursued his own obedience to God. The way of the cross is the death of the self-will. It's the end of the beautiful future that we imagine for ourselves and for our families. The way of Jesus, the way of Joseph, the way of the prophets is one of self-emptying, of releasing control. It's one of pouring out our lives for others. The way of the cross is surrendering our dreams so that the dream of God has room to manifest. Which, by the way, just parenthetically, that's how the Bible says that the creation happened. God made room. God made space. And as we imitate God, we have to make space for creation to happen. So what does it look like for us to imitate Joseph? What are the ways that you are being called to lay aside your need for control? Where are the scary places that God is asking you to go? Who are the unexpected people that God is calling you to love and care for? When we see that little baby Jesus lying in the manger, it's beautiful. The precious little baby God incarnate. We're tempted to become sentimental, to turn Christmas into a Hallmark moment. But Joseph's here to remind us that even at this moment, even on Christmas, even at the beginning of Jesus' life on earth, sacrifice is already present. The Word has become flesh and dwells among us. But if we're to hear him, we must become silent. If we're to make space for him, we have to get out of the way. Joseph overcame his own desire for control, legacy, a future of his own making. We can be like him. Mary made space within her own body for Jesus to dwell. We can become like her. We can become like Jesus, who completely surrendered himself to the movement of the Holy Spirit, saying, "Not my will, Father, but yours be done."